Matthew chapter 6. And look, if you would, starting at verse 19. Jesus speaking here, and he says this. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Let's pray. Father, again, I just ask this morning, Lord, that you'll bless the message now. Lord, I pray that your words will reach the hearts of these folks. Lord, we know that it's not the words I say, Lord, it's the words of yours, Lord, that are in the Bible, the scriptures. And Lord, help us as we look at the scriptures this morning, Lord, that you'll just give us conviction where we need it. Lord, no doubt there may be somebody here this morning, Lord, that has never been saved, that has never received Jesus Christ, and they do not have their home as being heaven. And Lord, and I just pray that this morning that you'll give them great conviction, Lord, show them that they are guilty of sin, and Lord, that the wages of sin is death, and Lord, that you paid their price on the cross of Calvary over 2,000 years ago, but Lord, help them to understand that they must put their trust in you and you alone to be saved. And Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, those that are saved and here this morning, and Lord, I pray that that's everybody. I don't know for sure if it is or not, but Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts as well, Lord. Perhaps there are some this morning that just need encouragement. Perhaps there are some this morning, Lord, who just maybe they're not right with you, or there's something going on in their lives, Lord. They need to tighten up and get clean, Lord. I just pray that they will do that this morning, and Lord, and make things right with you. Lord, speak to our hearts, Lord, and show us the message you would have for each one of us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, by the very nature of the world we live in, we are all things-oriented. And when I say things-oriented, I mean that, you know, we have this where we always want things in life, material things. You know, we can't live a day in our lives without spending a great deal of time and attention on just things in this world. And there's nothing wrong with having material things, but sometimes if we don't put them in the right place, that's where we get in trouble. It's always things that get, you know, especially Christians, it seems like things always get us in trouble. Bible has a great deal to say about things. In fact, the Bible says that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. And so, you know, if you've got a few things at home, material things, if you got a little bit of money, the Lord has given you that for you to enjoy. Listen, you didn't get it yourself. The Lord blessed you with it, and you need to be thankful for it. Amen. In fact, everything that you have, you need to be thankful. Listen, folks, we may think that we're poor, but I'm telling you, you are rich compared to the rest of the world. In fact, to show you what the Lord has to say about things, you'll notice at the end of this sixth chapter, look at verses 32 and 33, at what Jesus says about things. It says in verse 32, it says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, the priority is Jesus Christ, not the things that you have. Okay? And so there's nothing wrong with things in and of themselves. The problem comes, however, when we allow those things to get out of proportion in our lives. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, "A man's life consists not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And so in these verses, the Lord gives us a word of warning about the danger of things getting out of proportion in our lives. In other words, once we start to look around at the things that we have, whatever it is, whether it be a bank account or a job or anything, when we start to look at these things and we start to get them in the wrong priority, in other words, put them in the wrong place in our lives, that's where we start getting in trouble. And that's what really the Lord is warning about here. And again, it's not wrong to have things, but it is wrong when those things have you. In other words, when they drive you to do things. How many of you know that there are people that, especially in America today, what we like to do is we will use credit to buy things that we want, that we've always wanted, and then we buy those things, then we get in debt, and then we have to work the extra job hours to pay for that. Well, what has happened? And the things are running our lives, rather than being in the right position. And so that's some of the things that we do. Now, in these verses, you're going to see the impact that things can have upon your life. In other words, material things, if we don't put them in the right place. And you're going to see that they can have an impact on our hearts. The material things can have an impact when it comes to our mind. And material things can impact us when it comes to our will as well. And so I'm going to start off looking this morning on how things can affect material things, how they can affect our heart. Now, if you look there at verse 19, Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Now, when Jesus said this, he was not talking about in the absolute sense here, because the Bible does say that there are some things that we are to enjoy. For example, 2 Corinthians 12:14, the Bible says, "Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for their children." Now here Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth." But over there Paul says, listen, it's okay for parents to lay up something for their children. Children shouldn't lay up for their parents. Parents should lay up for their children. Amen? And so there's nothing wrong with parents laying up things for their children, preparing for their future, so they'll have something to pass along to their children. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible even encourages it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible also says in Proverbs 10:14, it says, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolish is near destruction." So there's another thing that we can lay up on this side of eternity. We can lay up knowledge on this side of eternity. So when the Lord is saying there, lay up not treasures on earth, he's not prohibiting the laying up of things. What he's saying is we're not to lay up things to our own indulgence and for our own luxury. That's what he's saying. And he's also saying that it's more important that you lay up things in heaven. Now, why in the world would it be more important that you lay up things in heaven? Well, because you're only here for a short time. The Bible says that our life is like a vapor here. Now, I'll tell you something. Every time I look at other people my age, I start to see that really life is like a vapor. Because people, the last time I saw them was, say, 20 or 30 years ago, and all of a sudden I see a picture of them, the first thing I say is, man, what happened to you? Amen? That's what I do. Because to me, I haven't changed. I know I have, but, I look at myself in the mirror every day. But them I haven't seen in 20 years, and so they've aged, and I haven't seen it. And what I see is the reality is that we're all getting older, and time does fly, folks. I mean, it really does. And so why would you lay up treasures on this side of eternity when the treasures you should be laying up are on the other side of eternity where you're going to be forever and ever and ever and ever? Amen? So it doesn't make any sense. Not only that, but everything's going to burn up on this side of eternity too one of these days. And so the Lord is there saying that we should not be just laying up things on this side of eternity for our own luxury. He's saying that it's fine to have things and use things, but we must not allow them to dominate our heart and be the object of our total affection in our lives. The Lord says, "Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." You know, back in those days, the Jewish people looked upon riches as being revolving around three basic things. They considered you to be wealthy based upon the clothes that you wore. If you remember those Pharisees, they always wore the phylacteries and all those clothes and try to make themselves look something in front of other people. They would consider you rich based on the clothes that you wore. They would also consider you wealthy based on the amount of food that you had stored up. If you had a lot of food stored up, then you were considered to be a prosperous person back in those days. Not only that, but they would also consider you wealthy based on how much gold you had laid aside. That's how they would consider whether or not you were prosperous or not. Now, I tell you that there's not much difference between the people, what they consider to be rich then, and what we consider to be rich today. Hey, listen, you look at people's clothes, you can kind of tell that maybe whether they have more money or not. Amen? And certainly, as a nation, we have lots of food that's laid in store. And you know, if you think about this, folks, and this, you know, I think about these things all the time, but you look at all these food places and you look at, you know, Walmart and that sells all this food, and when the food expires, we just throw it away. And the amount of food that we throw away every day could feed people for a long time overseas. Now, for us to say that we're poor, that's crazy. We have a lot of food laid up in store. And not only that, but you know, if you've got a little bit of money in the pocket in your bank account, or a little bit of money in your wallet, you know, you're prosperous compared to the rest of the world. You realize the rest of the world today, that most of the world today would love to have a bicycle. And we get upset if we don't have at least two vehicles. We're prosperous. And sometimes we don't think we are, but we are. Compared to the rest of the world, we're considered prosperous. That's what they looked at then, was how much clothing, your clothing, adequate food, and having some gold laid up. That's what those were considered prosperous people back in those days. And we are prosperous today. You know, but I will say this, there are some today that has philosophy about this, about being prosperous, that back then they had this philosophy, and sometimes we have that philosophy today. And back then, you know, they thought that if you were prosperous, it's because the Lord had blessed you and made you prosperous. Now, that's true to a point, but they took it too far, and they said, if you're prosperous, then obviously you're right with God. Well, that doesn't mean anything. Being prosperous doesn't make you right with God, amen? But you know, there are some people today that even in some pulpits, they teach a false teaching called the prosperity gospel. How many of you ever heard that? And what they say is this: if you're saved and you're a child of God and you're right with God, then it'll be seen by what you have. In other words, if you're saved and you're God's child, all you have to do is name it and claim it, and it's yours, to include the brand new Cadillac, the RV, those sorts of things. Well, that's not what I read in my Bible. In fact, when I read about those 12 disciples, I see, now there was one, you know, tax collector there. He may have had some money, and you might have had Luke. I mean, he had some money. He's a doctor. But, you know, you look at some of those other followers of the Lord, like Peter, James, and John, fishermen. Fishermen aren't rich, folks. Amen? They're not. In fact, you'll notice that the people that Jesus hung around with usually weren't the very rich people at all. And so the person today that's teaching that prosperity gospel that says, hey, listen, if you're a child of God and all you got to do is name it, claim it, and that RV is yours, that's nonsense. Now, you are going to have an inheritance in heaven. That's fantastic. I mean, you start reading, like this morning we started reading Sunday school about the New Jerusalem and the precious stones and the gates of pearl and the streets of gold that's so pure that you could see through it. Listen, that's a great thing, but that's over there on that side. On this side, you're not guaranteed of anything. You're not. Now, I will say this. Now, the Lord will provide for you. But there's nothing there that says he's going to provide all the money in the world to you. And nothing there says he's going to provide, you know, for you enough to where you'd be richer than everybody else in town. No, the Bible doesn't say that. But there are some people today that teach that. But Jesus says, lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're being blessed by God. If you have treasures upon earth, I mean, we know that all things that we have, God has given us, and we should thank God for the things that we have and be grateful for material blessings. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you're being blessed spiritually because you're prospering financially or materially. In fact, I'll tell you this, I know some people who, you know, I believe that the greatest curse that ever came in their Christian lives was when they began to prosper materially. They couldn't handle it. They let it get out of proportion in their lives. They started spending more time accumulating things than they did growing in Christ. And it was detrimental to their walk with the Lord. Remember this, folks, the devil knows how to take something good in your life and use it against you. He knows how to do that, and he does it often. Now, the Lord here, he warns us of the danger of accumulating things just for the sake of having them. Because he points out first that things don't last. They don't last. He talks about the moth and the rust corrupting. He talks about thieves breaking through and stealing. And he's simply saying that material things don't last. Material things can be eaten up or they can be taken away. You know, if you think about, you know, back in those days, let's say that here is a prosperous Jew and, you know, he goes to his clothing closet. He looks in there to find something really expensive looking. And he noticed that the moths had eaten holes through it. And then he goes over to the grain pile and he discovers that the mice had eaten up his grain, the food that he had laid in store. And then he goes over to his gold deposit and discovers that a thief had broken through the walls and stole that gold that he had. The things that he had depended upon in his life had all been taken away. Jesus is trying to warn us this morning that things don't last. You know, you buy a new car today and you go out there and you polish it. And you break out the, you know, you wipe off everything and make sure it's really clean. And you have the little lemon smell on the inside. Or you got one of those little things that hangs and says new car smell. And you're so proud of it. You know what that car is going to be like in 15 years? A bucket of bolts. Unreliable, especially if it's a Ford. Or a Dodge. But you know, it's going to be unreliable. It's going to be rusty. I mean, the car that you thought so much of, the car that you invested so much in, the car that you got in debt for and said, hey, I've got to work the extra hours for. What does it work down the road? Nothing. Nothing. And they don't last. They just don't last. Not only that, but Jesus also says that material things, not only do they not last, but they don't satisfy. If material things could satisfy, it wouldn't take a whole lot to satisfy you. Amen? I mean, if they could actually satisfy you. For example, money cannot satisfy you. Now, I know what you're saying. You're like, well, you know what? If I had $100, I'd be satisfied. No, you wouldn't. You think you would, but you wouldn't. You say, well, if I had $1 million, I'd be satisfied. No, you wouldn't. How many of you know that the more money you make, the more money you spend? You know what happened if you got $1 million? You'd start buying more expensive stuff, and then you'd want $2 million. Hey, listen, if money could satisfy you, it wouldn't take very much. If money could satisfy you, I could hand you $1 right now and you'd be satisfied. But it doesn't satisfy you. If I hand you $1 right now, you'd want two. I give you two, you'd want 10. If I give you 10, you'd want 100. If I gave you 100, you'd want 1,000. And we could go on and on and on. Material things and money doesn't satisfy. Listen, you know what I've noticed? How many of you noticed that when you look at RVs, you ever notice how much bigger they're getting today? I mean, when I was a kid, if you had one of those little tiny hard-sided trailers, man, you were something. Now them things are so big. I mean, I saw one going down 10th the other day, had three axles on it. Three. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world do you have inside that thing that would be three? I mean, it was long, too. And I'm thinking to myself, man, he may as well be pulling a house behind him. Pretty soon, that's what you're going to see. They're going to be pulling trailers, you know. That'll be your new RV. Single-wide trailers, I guess. But you know, why? Why does that happen? Because we're never satisfied. We're never satisfied. What satisfied you before won't satisfy you now. That's the thing about material things. We always want more, and we want more, and it doesn't satisfy. And he says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You say, why do we do that? Because in heaven, nobody's going to come and steal it. In heaven, it's going to last forever. In heaven, there are no moths that's going to eat through it. Nothing's going to rust in heaven. That's all here. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Rather than having your heart accumulating, set on accumulating things on here on earth that won't last, that can't satisfy you, lay up treasures in heaven to where you will be satisfied with those things and they'll last forever. You say, well, what does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven anyway? Well, when you lead a person to the Lord, you've laid up treasure in heaven. You've laid up treasure in heaven. Can you imagine how great it's going to be? Now listen, again, we don't save anybody. I mean, we tell people the gospel. We plant and we water, but God who gives the increase. But isn't it going to be great when you get to heaven one day and let's say you've been talking to your neighbor and telling him about the Lord and inviting him to church and just constantly talking to him about it. Wouldn't it be great you get to heaven and all of a sudden your neighbor show up there? Think about this. He's going to be there for eternity. Now, you had nothing to do with him being saved, but you look at him, you're like, man, what a blessing that is. Or how about a family member, a grandchild, a brother, a sister? How great. How much is that going to be worth to you when you get to heaven and you see their face? Never to have to say goodbye ever again. You see, folks, that's where the real treasure is over on the other side. Things that really matter is on the other side, not on this side. You know, if you think about, you know, you lead somebody to the Lord, lead somebody to the Lord, that's treasures in heaven. When you do kindness to somebody for the sake of Christ, you've laid up treasures in heaven. The Bible says that if you go out and you witness to people and you're persecuted for it, the Bible says you're going to receive a crown. That's treasures in heaven. When you give to church, this church, and when you give to missions, you're going to get treasures in heaven. How's that? Because they're out telling the world about Jesus Christ. And you're supporting them. The Lord has allowed us as a church to support these folks. And they're giving the gospel all over the world. How great is it going to be to see people in heaven that you found out that this missionary that you've been supporting have been over there telling people the gospel, and all of a sudden these masses of people are showing up in heaven? You had a part in that. That's laying up treasures in heaven. And folks, I'm just going to tell you that there's nothing you could buy on this side of eternity that even comes close to those treasures. And those treasures are forever. And the moth and the rust ain't going to get to those treasures. And those treasures will last forever, and they will always satisfy. If you think about the poem that says, only one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. I don't know anything you could do that would be greater blessing in your life and that will lay up more stockpiles of heavenly currency than to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and support missionaries who are doing the same thing in foreign lands. In verse 21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wherever you put your treasure, that's where your heart's going to be. And Jesus warns us of the impact of things when it comes to our heart. Now, the book of Matthew gives us a very vivid account of this in the 19th chapter. So turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter 19. When Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The great thing about your Bible is this, is whenever Jesus tells us something or you see a statement in the Bible, you can go somewhere in the Bible and find out where that's absolutely true. The greatest illustrations that you will find anywhere is right there inside your Bible. In Matthew chapter 19, we see an illustration of this very thing. We see an illustration on the impact that material things can have on the heart of a person. In Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Good question. Listen, if you're not saved here this morning, you need to answer that question too. What can you do to have eternal life? And there's only one thing that you can do, and that is put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for you when he paid for your sins with his own blood. That's the most important thing in the world, is how can I have eternal life? He says, good master, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto them, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Now that young man wasn't exactly honest there. Because I guarantee you the things that he named there, that young man was guilty of. Somewhere down the line. You know what he was saying? He was saying, well, I'm a pretty good person. I haven't really stolen anything. I hadn't killed anybody. I hadn't committed murder. That's what he's saying. How many of you have been out witnessing people and have them say the same thing to you? That's what he's saying. Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know what happened? Material things affected the heart of that man, to the point to where he had the opportunity to have eternal life, but the material things was more important to him. The material things had a hold of his heart so bad that the things that really mattered, he made those second to material things. It had a hold of his heart. But may I tell you, it didn't just happen to a lost rich ruler here. In this same passage, you'll notice that material things had kind of gotten the heart to somebody a little bit closer to the Lord. Drop down to verse 27. It said, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Isn't that something? You know what Peter's saying? Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What are you going to give us? They had the Son of God right there in their presence. The most precious thing on the earth was the Son of God. Amen? And he's right there with them. And he's saying, what are you going to give us now? You know what happened? Material things started working on their heart. And so the first thing that Jesus points out is the impact of things when it comes to our heart. But then Jesus also points out the things that can how things can impact our mind. And they can affect our perceptions, you know, your understanding of life. They can affect the way you look at life. For example, back there in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 22. It says, the light of the body is the eye. Now what he means is that the eye is like a window that lets light in. The amount of light that gets in your body is largely dependent upon the condition of the health of your eye. Now keep in mind that the context here has not changed. The context here is still the warning of material things. In fact, it's not going to change in our entire opening passage. It's the warning about material things, the danger of material things, the danger of laying up treasures on this earth and having the affection of things on this earth. Now, with that in mind, look at what Jesus continues to say. He says, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is saying that your aim in life is determined by whether you are spiritually minded or material minded. And if you're spiritually minded, then you have clear vision, you're able to see things in a proper perspective. You have light. If you're materially minded, he's saying that the things will have an impact on your mind, and when you get things out of proportion in your life, you won't think clearly, and you don't perceive things correctly. If you look at everything that's materialistic, the point of view, Jesus is saying that it darkens your vision, and you don't see what really matters in life. For example, I'll just give you an illustration. Let's say a man who's decided that his ambition in life is to become a very well-known businessman and build a business that's so big that he'll be the object of admiration to the entire community. And yet he has a little boy and a little girl at home. And while he should be spending time with them, he's off at the office. When their activities are going on, he's at work. He doesn't have to be at work all the time. I mean, he could find somebody else to do the work for him. But he decides to stay at work, but his children grow up without him. And so down the road, he has plenty of money laid up, you know, in the bank, but his son and daughter don't even know really who he is. You see the point that Jesus is making? If your eye is clear and your focus is right on the right things and you're thinking straight, you'll be full of light. You'll see what really matters in life. But if your eye is evil and you're focused on the wrong things, the whole body will be full of darkness. And Jesus says, how great is that darkness? Here's another illustration. Let's say the man is so focused on having material things that it came to having to give up some of those material things in order to be saved. He would choose the material things over getting saved. How great is that darkness? You say, oh, I don't believe that ever happened. I don't believe anybody would ever do that. Well, you remember the story of the rich young ruler we just read. When Jesus told him, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The rich man heard that saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He came and said, what must I do to have eternal life? And the Lord told him what he must do, and the man walked away because of his material things. It affected his mind. You know, that man didn't get saved. That man's in hell today. And may I tell you, he's in hell today without those material things. Because I tell you this, folks, when we allow material things in this world to affect our minds so much that we don't think right. We don't think that, hey, listen, I may have a lot of things today. I may have everything that I've ever wanted today. But you could die tomorrow. You remember that one parable that Jesus gave that talked about the man who says, I've got my barns and I've got everything full of barns. And let's just eat and drink and be merry. And the Lord says, thou fool, tonight thy soul be required of thee. Hey, listen, don't get so focused on material things that it starts to affect your mind and get you thinking wrong, because at the end of the day is this, you may work hard to get these things, and those material things may be very important to you. But listen, you could get a call from the doctor today and him telling you how long you got to live. You could die before morning. How important are those things to you? I'll tell you this, folks, when you're laying on your deathbed, you're going to look back and you are going to care about the material things that you've laid up in store. I'll tell you what you are going to care about, though, is what's going to happen to you right after death. Where are you going to be? What are you going to have when you get there? That's going to be the most important thing. You've heard me tell you many times, but whenever I've talked to people on their deathbed, you know what the number one thing I hear is? The number one thing of all the things that people have told me when they're laying there and they're able to talk, or they've gotten bad news and they're just going into hospital and they know they don't have long to live, the number one thing I hear from people is this: I wished I had done more for the Lord when I had a chance. Oh, I've heard that more than any other thing. Those people aren't worried about what they acquired in life. They aren't worried about the treasures they lay up on this side of eternity. They're saying, I should have paid attention to the most important thing. You know what happened to those people? Material things got to their mind, and they started thinking wrong about it. The truth of the matter is this: it's appointed unto men once to die. If you're blessed on this side of eternity, amen. God bless you. Be thankful to the Lord for it. But don't start thinking those material things to be in anything great. If anything, God has blessed you to use those things for His glory. That's what you've been blessed. That's the reason. If you've been blessed with anything, you're to take those things and use for the glory of God. But you're not to allow those things to affect your heart. You're not allowing those things to affect your mind to get you thinking wrong about those things, because in a moment, those things will be taken away from you. People say, well, I've got a big bank account. Don't you know in a moment the government could take that from you? And you couldn't do anything about it. Hey, don't you know those people back in the early 30s and 40s when everything crashed and you had the Great Depression? People had money in the banks then. And you know what happened? When it was all gone, people were killing themselves, committing suicide. You know why? Because material things had affected their heart and mind. Rather than just trusting God, they had put their trust in that bank account. And when that thing was gone, they're like, what am I going to do? Hey, listen, if you're a Christian here this morning, even if you lose everything by tomorrow morning, you're still the most rich people that ever walked the face of the planet. Why? You're saved, aren't you? This life, listen, we're all going to die. It's just a matter of when. Amen? You either get hit by a Mack truck or you get robbed and killed in a grocery store. We don't know how we're going to go, but we know this: we're all going to go. Why are we so worried about the material things that we have? God's still going to take care of you. I mean, you're more precious than the birds, the sparrows, amen? God, David said he's never seen any God's children begging for bread. God's going to take care of us. And you may lose everything. But the problem is today is we don't have the faith that we should have. I'll tell you this. I may as well just go ahead and tell you. I hate to tell you because it shows you my lack of faith. We're going to be moving in that new church, amen? Lord willing, we'll be moving there. But then when I went to the bank to get the down payment on Friday so we can close, reality hit me. Hey, we're moving to a new church. Hey, all this money we've been saving, we're going to be able to buy this new church. And I'm telling you what, I have a knot in my stomach. I feel like I'm sick to my stomach. Why? Because of lack of faith. I worry. Rather than just saying, you know what, the Lord's going to take care of us. That's the right answer, because He is. But I start thinking about the material things, see. And I'm saying, is this the right thing? Are we doing right here? You see, it happens to all of us, folks. It happens to all of us. We allow material things to get to our minds. We allow material things to make us think wrong. We start to put our trust in material things, when those material things ain't going to help you out at all. If all of a sudden you get a terminal illness, hey, it'll help pay the doctor bills, but at the end of the day, it's up to the Lord whether or not you get well or not. And no amount of money is going to be able to buy it. Amen? That's just the way it is. And so we're not to let the material things affect our mind. And Jesus warned us more than once about the danger of material things and how those things can affect our thinking. That's why He warned, saying in Matthew 16:26, He says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what He was warning of? He was warning of letting material things affect your mind. He says, listen, the most valuable thing you have is your soul. You better pay attention to that, not to material things. But you know what? That rich young ruler didn't do that. And if you're here this morning and you're one of those people to say, well, if I get saved, then I'm going to have to give up this and I'm going to have to give up that and I won't be able to do this and I won't be able to do that, you're not thinking right. Material things have gotten to your mind. Why? Because the most valuable thing you have is your soul. And listen, when you die, your soul will either be in hell for eternity or it will be in heaven for eternity. And I guarantee you this, everybody's in hell today. If they had to do over, they'd give up everything they ever had to save their soul and not be there. And so this morning, if you allowed material things to affect your thinking to the point that you would even think about putting off salvation because of material things or having to give up anything, you need to be saved, folks. Because I guarantee you nothing on this planet is worth your soul. Nothing. I don't care what it is. So Jesus says the first thing, when he points out, the first thing is the impact of things when it comes to your heart. He points out the impact of material things when it comes to your mind. And then finally, Jesus shows us the impact that material things can have on your will. Jesus says in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Again, context hasn't changed. Mammon is just another word for riches. And you can serve mammon or you can serve the Lord, but you can't serve them both. You can't. And who you decide to serve is a decision of your will. Now, the fact is, all of us serve something or somebody. All of us do. It's built within every one of us to give our allegiance to someone or something. And we must decide who or what we're going to serve. If you decide that you're going to live for material things, then that's a decision of your will. In 1 Timothy 6:9, Paul says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." That's talking about those who set riches and material things as their goal in life. Again, there's nothing wrong with having them. There's nothing wrong with when God blesses you with things and he gives you material things, but let me warn you folks that if it's your will to serve material things, then you are in for a miserable life. Miserable life. Remember Lot and what happened to him? Do you know where all that started? You remember, when you're reading your Bible and you read the story about Lot, you'll read where Lot and Abraham were actually traveling together from the land of Ur over in the Chaldees. And as they were traveling together, both of them were pretty well off. I mean, Abraham, he had a lot of servants and he had a lot of cattle and sheep and all these different things. And Lot, he had a lot of servants, a lot of cattle and his sheep and everything too. And then after a while, then, you know, Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen started yap, 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 yap back and forth and they couldn't get along. And finally, Abraham says, "Okay, Lot, I'll tell you what. You choose which direction you're going to go. Now, if you choose that direction, I'll go this direction. And if you choose this direction, then I'll go that direction." And so he says, "Lot, we have to divide up. And Lot, you have the choice. It's your choice, Lot." Now, here's what Genesis 13, 10, 11 says. It says, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other." You know what Abraham was doing? Abraham's known as the father of faith. Abraham says, "Listen, you go that way, I'll go this way. You go this way, I'll go that way. Because it doesn't matter, because the Lord's going to take care of me either way." That's faith. But you know, Lot didn't think that way. You see, Lot had let the material things kind of get in his heart and get in his mind. And rather than thinking that it really doesn't matter which way I go, the Lord's going to take care of me like Abraham was thinking. No, Lot's looking over here and saying, "Well, that place right there, that looks horrible. There's no grass at all over there." I remember one time when I was in the Middle East, I was at a place called Moon Island. You say, "Why do they call it Moon Island?" Well, because it looked like the surface of the moon. I mean, literally, you look out there and you see nothing but sand and rock. Ugliest place I've ever seen in my entire life. And every time I think about Lot going the other way, I imagine that he looks over here and he looks like the surface of the moon. He's saying, "Well, I'll tell you what, that place over there looks pretty bad. I'll let Abraham have that because look over here. It's lush and green." He even said it looked like the garden of God. Boy, you can imagine that. I mean, we're talking grass is high, plenty of stuff to eat for the sheep and for the cows. And man, look at that. It's just all nice and green. He wasn't thinking right. He wasn't thinking that hey, it doesn't matter which way I go, God's going to take care of it, take care of things. No, he had in his eyes, in his decision-making, the material things. Well, I'll be able to feed my cows and my sheep a long time there. Abraham, I don't know how he's going to make it, but boy, I'm going to have it good. Let me ask you something. How did it work out for Lot? I'll tell you how it worked out. Because he allowed the material things to grab a hold of his heart. Because he allowed the material things to make him think wrong. Because he had made a decision based on material things. He ended up in Sodom. And when he ended up in Sodom, you know what happened? He lost two of his daughters. Oh, wait a second, I thought his daughters left with him. No, the Bible says that he tried to convince two of his sons-in-laws to leave, and they looked at him as a crazy man, basically. So he had two daughters that had married off to other men, and he also had two virgin daughters that were living at home. And it cost him his two daughters. There's also evidence that he might have even had sons there as well. Cost them too. And the only people that left was him, his wife, and two daughters. They were delivered before God's wrath came. And guess what? He lost his wife too. Because she turned around and looked, she turned into a pillar of salt. And then there was sin in his family with his two daughters. Don't you know that if Lot had it to do over right now, he'd say, you know what? I wished I had never even looked at that green grass. I wished I had never even considered that the material things. I wished I had just trusted the Lord. Because if he had trusted the Lord, he would have never went to Sodom. Never. Think about what it cost him. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I am convinced that there are people today that are not saved because they don't want to give up certain things that they know they got to give up. They'll say, you know what, I'd go to church and I'd hear the gospel, but you know, I got to work those extra hours. I got to pay for this and I got to pay for that. A lot of Christians are the same way. A lot of Christians know that they could be growing in the Lord and growing more, and they know that they need to read their Bible more. They know they need to come to church more. They know they need to start serving God, but you know, you just can't give up the things that you have in order to make that happen. You just can't give up the extra hours at work so that you could come to church at least once a week or at least once every now and then. No, the job is so important because of the material things in our lives. What we've done is we've allowed material things to affect our thinking. And our heart is set on material things rather than things that really matter. Let me tell you something, folks. As Christians, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it's not going to be for the sins that we've committed because Jesus Christ paid for those sins on the cross of Calvary. But what you are going to be judged for when you go to the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian is what you did for the glory of God. And if you think that working your bank account, or working so you can have a bigger bank account, so you can have more things, that's not for God's glory, that's for yours. And guess what you'll suffer there is loss. You know, where it really matters. When you could have laid up treasures in heaven, when you could have told people about Jesus Christ, when you could have grown, when you could have served the Lord, you gave it all up because you didn't want to give up things of this world. You didn't want to give up the material things. And you'll suffer loss. My encourage you this morning, lay not for yourselves treasures on this earth. Lay up treasures in heaven, because those mean everything. And if you're not saved here this morning, your job is not worth it. The amount of money you have in a bank account ain't worth it. The things you want to buy down the road ain't worth it. Your plans down the road ain't worth it. Being saved means everything. Because it could very well be that the Lord says to you, tonight thy soul will be required of thee. And once you die, it's too late. And you can't take it with you. Amen? Amen. You can't take anything with you. Naked you came into this world, naked you'll leave. You won't even leave it with clothes on your back. You'll leave this world. You will die. And when you stand before the Lord, what treasures will you have? When you stand before the Lord, will heaven be yours? That's the question to ask this morning. Don't let the material things affect your heart, your mind, or your will. Let's stand.